Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 14th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 156 today, unpacking paragraph 5. It bleeds over to page 157 as well. So here's how it starts. Here was a prospect, all right, but by description, none too promising. And ends at the top of page 157 is, put him in a private room, we'll be down. Let's look at the share ID numbers this morning. The reference ID numbers are for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 14618, 14,618, and that was for Wednesday, May 13th. That's the 10 a.m. meeting. And then we had another meeting already this morning. Maybe you missed it, and that was at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and that share ID number is 14624, 14,624, and the date is May 14th, 2020, 7 a.m. Today, our readers are reading the 12 Steps, Laura R., the 12 Traditions, Kathy Jo P., and reading the text and support this morning is Brandy M., Robin P., Ellen D., newcomer greeter sponsor, information grabber upper, Christina K., and the announcements today will be Leslie M. Thank you for that service very much. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Laura.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. Good morning, Melanie. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Quick star one, Kathy Jo P. In the interest of time, Ellen D., are you prepared to read the 12 traditions, please? Star one.
I can do that, Melanie, yes. If you want. Ellen D., the 12 Traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Ellen D., for stepping in like that. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Take note, this is referring to the star 1 key function only, not just your own personal mute on your phone. Anything other interrupts technologically with the phone recording. Thank you so much for the consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter of Vision for You. We're on page 156, paragraph 5, which begins with, here was a prospect, all right, but by description, none too promising. And I'll ask Brandy M. to read that paragraph and unpack it for us as we get started for the additional shares. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks for your service. My name is Brandy M. I am a recovered food addict from Edmonton, Canada. Here was a prospect, all right, but by the description, none too promising. The use of spiritual principles in such cases was not so understood as it is now. But one of the friends said, "Put him in a private room. We'll be down." I thank God that, you know, I'm sure people saw me I was in the rooms for 22 years before I, you know, finally had a spiritual experience. And so I am so glad that people didn't look at me and say, oh yeah, why waste my time with her? Or, you know, she'll just relapse anyways. Or, you know, all those things that I said to myself. Thank God fellows took a chance on me and continued to take a chance on me and share the message. And, you know, today my only aim is to be helpful. And, you know, I have the experience of what it was like in my disease and how hopeless it was for me, you know. And I mean, I spent a lot of time trying to get this, trying to figure it out. And, you know, today I know that I don't need to figure anything out. What I needed to do was give up and forget everything I thought I knew. But, you know, it's those experiences that I can share with a fellow or a potential prospect where they're going to listen, because we can relate on a way that no one else can, that no one else understands. You know, a normal person doesn't understand why I want to eat 10 boxes of cookies and then go back to the cupboard for more. And, but, you know, if we have a common disease, people get it. And, you know, today I can share that I have a solution. And, you know, how do I carry the message today? A big one is sponsorship, you know, like taking the time and trying to carry the message that way and taking people through the 12 steps. I really had an earning for, you know, my community in where I live. We had meetings and, you know, there was like some recovery, but I wanted a community around us. And I know that maybe sounds selfish, but, you know, I started a step study and I started a big book meeting. And, you know, today I have people face to face that are recovering, and the beauty of that. And I do that to stay clean. And that's what God's will is for me today. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brandy M. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And with this in mind, we are now ready to open up the lines for those that want to comment on paragraph 5, page 156. And if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'll take a lineup of about six
Margo.
Of you. Margo. Hi, Margo. And what's your first initial of your last name?
Be
like
boy.
Okay, got it. Got it, thanks.
Carol K.
Carol K.
Bam W.
Bam W.
Oh, I'm sorry. A question about sharing in this moment about a paragraph. Is that the same as every third day, or is that different than the personal sharing?
It includes the third day. If you shared before, I would ask that you hold back and share on the third day after the, yeah.
Okay, I've shared, and it does it count if I shared in the meeting, in a different meeting, or this time meeting?
This technically is, this is a different meeting. The idea is that we're just leaving room. The first 7 a.m. meeting has 500 people on it, and this particular meeting has 200 people on it, so we're looking at just sharing, but technically it is a different meeting.
Okay, great. Never mind. I'm good here. I'm set. This is my first time.
Who else would like to comment on paragraph? Hi, Patty. First initial of your last name?
King.
Okay, great. Well, let's go with that. In the interest of time, we got a short lineup, and we can get through this and get some more. We have Margo B., Carol K., Bam W., and Patty T. Let's go with Margo. You're up for your three, starting now.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for your service. My name is Margo, a compulsive overeater. Great to claim my seat. Ooh, so I just get this image of time with this paragraph because I know what's coming next. Like, they just grab the guy and then they sit and talk and they have that heart-to-heart talk. And as I was listening to the reading, I come from bags and boxes, being completely passed out on food. And it's good to remember, you know, and keep it green. I come from, you know, just going out and, you know, in my pajamas and running and getting whatever I need to get for my next hit, my next six passed out. Binge diet, starve, whatever. The insanity of just trying to control it and fix it, having no idea that I had no willingness. I just really wanted to be beautiful and thin, but I didn't want to do the work or whatever. But then I get introduced. I was thinking about it. I can't even remember how I got into the room. All I remember is crawling in. And I'm just so grateful. And I just wanted to thank God, thank, you know, the people of the room, the people who saw me crawl in. Gosh, you know, like just remembering, and my sponsor always said it's the power of identification, you know, power of identification. That was from another program, but the premise is still the same. So that when I turn around to you and I say, yo, I need this. I'm talking about my body about this, and I want to be a negative zero because in truth, I just want to disappear and die. You're like, yep. The head bobs and everybody agrees because they know my pain and I know I'm not alone and I'm just so grateful. And I just needed to be in an attitude of gratitude because I'm feeling a little beating myself up crap. And then the next thing, of course, is to use the food as a weapon because I can use people, places, and things as a weapon. And program is teaching me receive my God's love because I'm a child of God. Try to see myself through God's eyes and not others. And I'm just very grateful. So thank you so much. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo B. Carol K. Oh, yes. Carol K., you're next. And then Bam will follow you. Hey, Carol.
Hi, good morning. My name is Carol K. I'm a compulsive overeater and many other things, making progress for this moment. One thing I had, another program person and I had some experience like this. It wasn't in a hospital or anything, but there was a woman that wanted someone to come to their house, and she was very overweight, and she had a bed in her living room with a commode, and her husband wasn't an enabler. He would buy her food. We sat there and talked to her for way over a half an hour. I don't remember if we talked to the husband, but we talked to her about, you know, not having her husband come, you know, let him go out to buy her food, you know, because it's not going to help her. She couldn't even get up. She had to hold on to the bed to get on the commode. And, you know, that was, to me, that was a 12 step. And I've had, you know, many 12-step, you know, I used to make coffee or put out ashtrays and you could smoke in the rooms, but I never had a 12-step going to someone's house. And it was very rewarding, you know. I don't know what she's like now. We haven't seen her. I don't know. And I think I made a few phone calls to her, but you know, I don't know if she was getting well. We just talked for a few minutes. So that's the only kind of experience I had. I never went to a hospital or anything like that. So I don't want to ramble on. My name is Carol, and I'm from Michigan. And I thank you for letting me share. Everybody stay well. Thank you for leading.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol K. Bam W.,
Hi.
You're next, and then Patty T. will follow right after you, Bam. And right after Patty, we're going to open up the lines again for additional comments on paragraph 5 on page 156 of your big book.
Hi,
Bam,
Margo.
Is that you?
Hello? No, it's Margo. I think I totally dropped the line because when I got to it, it was dead. So I just wanted to apologize. I just didn't realize. So thank you. Sorry.
Bam, you're up next. Press star 1 on your phone keypad.
Hi, Bam W., Ithaca. I am brought into thinking about slowness and what it means and what it feels like to really be humble, and I have yet to hear the word humble or humility uttered, it that specific language used in paragraph 5. Yet I sense a deep obligation to humility and a deep sense of obligation to the ways that my compulsive behaviors and the ways that my compulsive programming and my name is Bam. I am a compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic. To circle back, I am very aware of how humbling and that this is without the word humble being used, that it becomes a practice that is not, that is about food and is about humbling myself and really being aware of just how I have allowed myself to be angry or frustrated by other people when really I am the one who is creating my own kinds of turmoil and humbling myself and submitting myself and the will of that I of an event or an experience or the moment, the direction of something to another power and another being is both is the humility I desire in my life and is also how I am also letting go of the kinds of relations to food and the practices and habits and programming that I have really been just I've just been persuaded by and I've just been convinced by and I have just been convinced by continuing to do and convinced by the notion that anything else or anything outside of it is doesn't produce what I want and I know what I want and what I want.
Time.
Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Pam. Patty T., you're up next for your 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines again for additional folks to comment on paragraph 5, page 156 in our big book. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Patty T. from recovering from Southern California. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm seeing it from my perspective, of course. I always see everything from my perspective because that's this girl. And I remember when my therapist suggested that I go to Overeaters Anonymous, I thought, well, here was a prospect, all right, but by the description, none too promising. Because I tried everything else. I tried starving. I tried every diet known to man. I'd been a member of, you know, one of those food programs for 20 years. And had just recently lost 22 pounds and gained back 20 within the same year, paying the money every week to go watch the scale go up. And I had tried it all, and nothing worked, nothing. Because spiritual principles in such cases as mine, as this, were not so well understood, at least not by me. And I had searched spiritually, but never in regard to this disease. I had never asked God to help me with this disease. And, you know, I got into the rooms, I got abstinent, I began to let go of the weight. And, of course, I have to, you know, I have to say, I have sometimes an insurmountable ego. You know, it just comes up and it's so huge. And so my idea of reaching out to others was to brag about my own success, not about helping others. It took me coming into this meeting and reading this big book to understand that my service to other people, other fellows who suffered from the same disease I did, who tried everything else, who thought therapy would fix them, who understood nothing about their disease or the ego, and only a spiritual solution was the answer to their malady. I didn't get it, and now I'm getting it, and I cannot tell you how different my recovery feels today. To be able to be on the front lines with this disease, with others, and to not have to brag about myself, but to remind them of their own recovery from my perspective as their fellow, who, you know, seeing them when they came in and where they are, and also finding that ability to see myself, where I came from and where I am. and I am ever grateful. Thanks for letting me share all, Pat.
Thank you, Patty T. We're going to open up the lines again for additional comments on paragraph 5, page 156. And although we do value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, today would not be your day. We're going to choose another one for y'all. But in the meantime, I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Carol
F. I heard a Carol F. And I heard Veronica B.
Ellen D.
Okay. Ellen D.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Lois P. from New York.
Lois P. from New York.
Reva G.
Reva G. Let's do that. We have it. Everyone else can press star 1 except for Carol F. And then we'll have Veronica B., Ellen D., Jordan L., Lois P., and Reva G. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Good morning, visionaries. I'm so glad to be on the line today. What struck me about this paragraph and with this whole part of the book is that however hopeless their prospect may have seemed, they were doing it for their own recovery. They were doing it because they needed to do it in order to stay sober. And that's what really stands out for me, because in giving of themselves, in giving freely of what they have received, they receive so much more. And it really was secondary whether their prospect recovered or not. And giving away this program is what works. And it's been told to me ever since I came into 12-step programs many, many years ago. And I have done that in various programs that I've been in. But in this program, I have hesitated because I felt I had nothing to offer. And I think my sponsor and others have pointed out to me that I have more to offer than I think I do, and that it's absolutely essential to my recovery that I do it. That's all I really wanted to share, and that's what seems important to me about this paragraph. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol F. Veronica B., you're up for 3 minutes now, and then Ellen D. will come in after you.
Thank you, Veronica, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for choosing me to share. I really love the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love that I found this new way of life and that the blueprint of living is in this big book. And what I love most about this paragraph is spiritual principles. When I first came into program, all I knew for myself, I was very desperate. Like I wanted to change my life. I wanted to change my, you know, turning to food, for me, it became like a prison in my head. Like all I would think about was food. When was I going to eat? When was going to be my next binge? You know, I'm bulimic. So I would just think about my binge and then how to get rid of it. And, that was a daily torture for me for about 15 years. I lived that way until I met a woman who seemed really happy. She lost a lot of weight and she was an attraction for me. I asked her what she was doing. She said she was doing Overeaters Anonymous. And after that, my life changed. I came to program and got a sponsor and was willing to do what she suggested. And it took a while for me to understand what spiritual principles were also. And for me, somewhere in the big book, it says like that spiritual principles will fix all of my problems. So for me, that means like as long as I'm doing the right thing, you know, as long as I'm taking an action that leads me towards God, you know, either I'm taking an action that leads me towards God or I'm taking an action that leads me towards the food for me today. And so this is where I have to be very mindful every day of what my intent is, what my motives are. You know, I start my day with, you know, I ask God, let it be divorced from self-pity, you know, self-seeking, dishonest motives. So really for me, the spiritual principles is what I love about this program. It's taught me a new way of thinking, and that is to, you know, do God's will, to do God's will. You know, pretend like God is in the room. When I'm questioning my behavior or how I should act, I just have to pretend like God is in the room, you know, and that'll make me think twice of how to treat my sister or what kind of tone to have when I have conflict with my sister or when I'm afraid to take an action. You know, I just bring God into it, and I know that all spiritual principles will solve all my problems, you know, and will fill that God-sized hole I have. I have a God-sized hole, you know, and only God fills that up, you know. About sponsorship, my sponsor says, you know, you always say yes. If someone asks you for help, you always say yes. The ones that stay, stay. Time. The ones that go, go. So thank you so much for letting me share. Be blessed.
You're welcome. Thanks, Veronica B. Ellen D., you're up next, and then Jordan L. will follow you.
Hi, this is Ellen D., gratefully recovered in Texas. So, none too promising by the description. I just need to carry the message, regardless of the description. And if people are receptive and willing to work with me, then I'll continue with them. And if they're not, then I can find another one. And I love how in working with others, it says they may be more receptive if they're depressed. And then elsewhere, it says also they're the more hopeless, the better. They may be more likely to follow my suggestions. So, you know, they may be ready if they're really desperate. But like Bill W. said, he was overwhelmed and alcohol was his master. And then, you know, think about Fred, who originally thought he could do it himself, but eventually he conceded that he was alcoholic and defeated. So in my experience, I carry the message. And, like, I'm going to find out later if they recover or as we move along. But I have to leave the outcome to God. And since the solution is spiritual, it's really, I'm not the solution. God's going to do the work in them if they're ready. But I do have a part. And I love how in the family afterward it says, we have recovered and have been given the power to help others. And so I want to fit myself to be of maximum service and use the power God's given me to help others. But ultimately, it's between them and God. It's not about me. I'm just grateful for my part. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. Jordan L., it's your turn for 3 minutes. And then Lois P. will follow you.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on the line this morning. And I'm grateful to be on the line this morning because I really thought there was no answer to this, you know? I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I am terminally friggin' unique. And I just thought that there was no way. I thought that I was going to have to struggle with my eating and struggle with my weight, the way that I had done my entire life until I got here. So, I was none too promising because of my head, man, because of my thinking and my attitude and the way that, like, I just thought I knew. You know, I just thought I knew that, like, I was doomed, and that was it. That was all that there was to it, you know? And so it really took, like, it really took a group of people that were leading by example, that weren't trying to order me around or convince me of anything. Like the paragraph is talking about, they were using spiritual principles. They were acting on spiritual principles and, like, showing me how it is that this works, right? And then, like, once I, like, saw it working, I was like, no way, this is so delicate and fragile. There's just no way that I can keep this up, you know? But that's the whole point, is, like, it's not about me, and it's not about keeping anything up. or doing more or trying harder. This is about me letting go, you know? And it was just, I just was so stubborn and hard-headed. It was really, really hard to grasp that concept. And I still have my crappy days sometimes where I'm not willing to let go, you know? But anyway, I wanted to mention really quickly the using spiritual principles to work with others. I was unsuccessful. Oh, I shouldn't say I was unsuccessful. I was the only one staying obstinate for my first couple of years of sponsoring.
Time.
And I luckily 10-step and I continued to seek, like, how is it that I can grow in understanding and effectiveness? This works when you persevere. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Next up is Lois P., followed by Reva G. And I believe after Reva, we might have time for another person or two. So I want to get prepared. Page 156, paragraph 5, y'all. Hey, Lois.
Hey, good morning. This is Lois P. from New York. This is my first time speaking, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I feel all the love and support around me, and that's really great. I really identify with this, a prospect being non-too-promising, that's for sure. And I actually had put myself in a private room, and I had sealed myself off, you know, the vulnerable part of myself, and kept that part from God. I was a doer and an achiever, and, you know, I saw myself as that way. I could do pretty much anything I put my mind to, and it was all about I, this artificial I that kept me separate from this incredible release of turning my life over to that power, to God. And I had always felt that I was in connection to God and with God, and yet the part of me that I was holding back was that private room, you know, and I was waiting for the light to come and just praying all those years, and it never happened until recently. And all I can say is how grateful I am that God showed up in the most amazing forms and the most beautiful, reassuring forms. And I've just been carried. And all of these illusions I had about my self-will and my self-aggrandizement and I knew better than everybody else is just melting away. And thank you, God, it's such a burden. And no wonder I was heavy. No wonder I was fat. I was carrying me the whole time. And I see now that wasn't necessary. All I had to do was ask and be humble and give up the idea that I was in charge. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Lois P. Reva G., it's your turn for 3 minutes on that paragraph, and then we'll open it up for at least one or two additional comments on paragraph 5. Page 156. Hey, Reva.
Hi. This is Reva G. in Brooklyn, New York. I was struck by that. Put him in a private room. This is the Depression. And I can only imagine that that's a really expensive thing for somebody to do. And one of the biggest hang-ups in preventing me from being abstinent is that I couldn't bring myself to throw food out. It was like, and one time I slipped with working with a group that was really, really fanatic about being perfect in this regard, and I picked up 3 string beans, and they went into my mouth and down my gullet faster than I can say I blinked my eye, and the next morning it was 2 blueberries. That's all it was. I mean, nothing was going to happen on the scale from that. It was what my hand was doing that was wrong. And what the scale is doing is irrelevant. It's really what my hand is doing that matters. And I knew I had to confess. And when I confessed to the sponsor the next morning, I was absolutely distraught. I felt as if ghosts from the past, who I didn't know, were telling me that they didn't want me in this family if I was going to throw food out. And I couldn't talk about this for a week without becoming distraught. And I had to put a, I did this, no sponsor told me to do this, I put a plastic container in the freezer, and every tenth of an ounce of bread, every single blueberry, anything that didn't fit in the cup or didn't go on that scale went into that thing. And as I did this, I spoke to these ghosts, and I said, you have to understand, I don't want to disrespect you, I have to do this. I'm going to die if I don't do this. You are going to die if you ate it, but if you didn't eat, I will die if I do. Please understand. And I pleaded with them until they let go, and I was able to throw food out. I'm putting that out there just in case there's anybody else whose ghosts come and haunt them, because when I've mentioned this, other people have said it has happened to them too. There are powers beyond us, in our genetics even, that we really have no idea are there. Memories that are stuck in our being, and who knows how that, where this will take us. It really is a power greater than myself. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Reva. Reva G., there is time for two additional people to comment on page 156, paragraph 2, and we're blessed with a room full size of 197 people. Come on, let's share together.
Gary D.
Robin
H. Gary D. and Robin H. We've got those two. Let's see what happens from there. Hey, Gary, you're up first, and then Robin.
I just have a very brief comment. I'm Gary. I'm a recovering compulsive eater in Miami, Florida. I just wanted to say quickly, the 12 steps says we tried to carry this message of recovery to other compulsive eaters. It doesn't say we tried to carry this message to other recovering compulsive eaters when we thought we'd be successful. You know, like Bill and Bob got this description about the third, about alcoholic number three, well, eventually the alcoholic number three. And despite the description said, you know, we're going. And that's kind of my job today, too, to carry the message. Like early on, like I wouldn't talk to my sister about it because I was afraid she wouldn't listen to me, like, or that wouldn't be interested. And I don't get to decide that in advance. It's my job to carry the message and not to determine what the outcome is likely to be. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Hey, before you take off, I wanted to check my ears. Is it Gary with a G and last initial D like David?
That's right, with a G and a D, just like you said.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I want to be accurate about that if I could. Great. Okay, thank you. Robin H., it's your three minutes that start now, and Gary was short on his time, so we might be able to take a third one after you, Robin.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, mm-hmm. and thank you, everybody, for your service and for being here. I'm Robin H., gratefully recovering one day at a time in Boston, Massachusetts. Reading this paragraph and hearing this paragraph and all the shares, what stands out for me is the sentence, the use of spiritual principles in such cases was not so well understood as it is now. And, you know, what a lovely reminder of how this book and our program is so modern and so relevant to now, absolutely right now. And when I say now, I mean now what's happening in the world and now in this very moment. And it being present in the now, that for me is the reminder that I need to have, and it's an intention I need to set for myself every single day, that if I want to live a spiritual path, if I want to recover, if I want to strengthen my connection with my higher power, the only way to do it is to living in the present, in the now. You know, somebody else shared about humbling themselves and just recognizing that I am one amongst, I don't know, hundreds and thousands and millions of people all walking together. And we are all experiencing on some level, fear and anxiety. Those things, I think, come with life. But when I remember that's, you know, to struggle is just part of life. Obstacles come, they go. Suffering is not. And when I'm in the food and when that's what I'm connected to, when I let food be the master of my life, when I let my mind be my master, I'm not connected to my higher power. I'm not living a spiritual path. And that's when I stumble, when I fall, when I suffer. And when I can just ground myself, remembering that I have all of you. I have the big book. so great and forever grateful for all those who came before, who spent so much time writing the big book, working programs, figuring it out for themselves and being open to sharing it with us. I mean, that's opening their hearts. You know, in my heart is where love and faith and spirituality lives. It doesn't live in my head. And I spend so much time in my head, and I'm working every day to just get out of it so that I can enjoy my life. So I just want to say, again, thank you to everyone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin H. Would anyone else like to take about 2 minutes to share on paragraph 5, page 156 this morning in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Press star 1.
Hey, I'd like to, I'm sorry, somebody else came in. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I think it might have been my voice. Which is
okay. Hi, my name's Laura H., and I'm a compulsive overeater from upstate New York, and I first worked with others in early recovery because my sponsor told me to do it. And then she told me to do it because that was the only way I could keep it, was by giving it away. So in early days, I came from a selfish point of view, but it worked. And with time and work in the steps and being in program, what began to happen is without consciously working on it, the spiritual principle of compassion began to develop in me. And instead of saying, I better work with this newcomer because, you know, otherwise I might eat or I might act out in some other way that'll harm me, I began to see their suffering. And I not only identified, but I had compassion for them, and I had that place. And I love when I can do service, 12-step service, from that place. It isn't always. It isn't as often as I like, but one of the ways I seek to find it today is through prayer and meditation, and by asking God to let me be his servant today, to let me see where I can do his will, not just in my own life, but in the world in general. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, that's interesting. That would give us another two-minute slot for somebody else to share if you want to keep squeezing out some time for sharing. Otherwise, we can move on to the last portion of our meeting, which is sponsors and newcomers.
Hi, this is Anna.
I heard two people, and I'm afraid I didn't catch really either one of those.
This is Anna.
Hi, Anna S. Let's go with 2 minutes for you, or minute 30 or something like that.
I can just do it real quick.
That would be great, Anna. Thanks so much.
Yeah, recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy today. And, you know, what just jumped out at me was they met him where he was at. And that's what I need to do. I need to meet the struggling compulsive overeater where they're at and just take their hand, shine the light, and show them the path to recovery. And that's all I could do. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Anne. What a great way to end this particular part of the meeting. This does end the recorded part of the meeting. We're going to wrap that up and then move on to the unrecorded portion of the meeting. As I indicated, it'll be getting sponsor names, newcomer names, and some announcements, so you might want to have pen and paper handy for that. But in the meantime, thanks so much for everyone that shared today and the service people that made this particular meeting possible. We need these kinds of volunteers to have this meeting happen every single day, and they're loyal to this meeting, and I'm grateful for that. Would Robin P. please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then after that, if you want to join me in the Serenity Prayer, let's close out this meeting. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mel. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.